Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, begin reading in the New King James Version, verse 1. I'd like to read through verse 10. I do not think we'll get much further than that if we get that far in our study this evening. We've come to a section of the book of Revelation that oftentimes we get to this place in Revelation by chapter 19. We're ready to speed up and get to the end of the book. I think that's just Satan's way of saying, well, your spiritual education and understanding doesn't matter. You can forget about the rest of it. But we want to spend some time with this as we continue through the end of the book, that we might come to a better and a more perfect understanding of it, if at all possible. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. After these things I heard a voice, or a loud voice, of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am of your fellow servants and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. After these things, Revelation 19 and verse 1, these things, of course, primarily has reference to those things that were just mentioned in chapter 18 regarding Babylon, the great harlot, that is, the city of Jerusalem, in its demise and destruction. John now hears a great victory celebration taking place in heaven over the destruction of Jerusalem, which corrupted the earth with her fornication. Remember that fornication, of course, was spiritual harlotry, spiritual adultery. It had reference to idolatrous practices. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, this great multitude probably refers to the heavenly beings mentioned earlier in chapter 5 and in verse 11, where it says, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So even though in our text here in Revelation 19 and verse 1, the voice of that great multitude is not identified for us, later on in verse 4 of this text, it seems to confirm that it is those living creatures that we read about in Revelation 5 and in verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 4, And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Here at the beginning of chapter 19, as in Revelation 11 and in verse 15 and following, we have a celebration that was identical with that in Revelation 11 and verse 15, where God is praised because he has righteously judged Israel and Jerusalem and avenged the blood of his servants at her hands. Revelation 11 and verse 15, Then the seventh angel sounded. This ought to remind you, we've studied this before. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that is, those dead souls underneath the altar in chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, that is, avenged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth, that is, the land. So here in Revelation 19, in verse 1, After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise Yahweh. It's actually a Hebrew phrase transliterated into the Greek. The Hebrew phrase is made up of a Hebrew verb to praise and then the first part of Yahweh. So, to praise Yahweh. Many times in the New King James Version, it's translated praise the Lord in Old Testament passages. So here we have it simply, Hallelujah. The word's also found in verse 4 and verse 6 in our text under consideration. So salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. These attributes are not something given to God, but they're attributes, note this, which belong to Him. So this great multitude, probably, of the four living creatures and all of those angelic creatures in heaven around the throne worshiping God, praising Him for His glory, honor, and power. And this is the reason why. Chapter 19 and verse 2. You note verse 2 begins with the word for. It's a Greek conjunction. It means because. As a matter of fact, you read down a few words and it has because. Same Greek conjunction. So here's the reason why this great multitude in heaven is shouting hallelujah and sounding out praise to God. For or because true and righteous are His judgments. True and righteous are His judgments. We saw this earlier in Revelation 16 in verse 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. True, meaning consistent with fact or reality. They're not false. Righteous means it's ethically right. It's proper, it's fitting. Free from favoritism, free from self-interest, bias, or deception in any way. So true and righteous are His judgments, His condemnation, His punishment that He has carried out upon apostate Israel in the city of Jerusalem. But note the second because here gives a second reason for that glory and praise and hallelujah going up to God. Because He has judged, condemned, punished, or brought about the destruction of the great harlot. The great harlot? Babylon, the city of Jerusalem. Revelation 17 in verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Revelation 17 in verse 16. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So this great harlot was going to be hated by the beast, that is the beast that rose up out of the sea. And the ten horns are ten kings. They were going to hate her. They were going to destroy her. She was destroyed by the Roman Empire and the kings of other nations that followed in their foot tracks. Revelation 17 in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who have the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. She is referred to as Babylon. Babylon the Great, Revelation 18 in verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hated bird. Revelation 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. So here in Revelation 19 and in verse 1, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor and power to the Lord our God. Why? Because true and righteous are his judgments. Why? Because he has judged the great harlot, great Babylon, the city of Jerusalem, who corrupted the earth with her fornication. Not literal fornication, but her idolatrous practices, her spiritual adultery. And he has avenged on her the blood of his saints or his servants shed by her. Now this should remind us of, made mention of a few moments ago, Revelation 6 and verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, that is upon the land? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both their number and their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. And so the prayers from underneath that altar have been answered. The great harlot has been destroyed. Great Babylon lays in ruins. Revelation 11 and verse 18, the nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that is those dead we just read about, Revelation 6 verse 9 through 11, that they should be judged, that is avenged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. Should remind us of what Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 49, therefore the wisdom of God also said, and this is Jesus' own words, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world might be required of this generation. That generation doesn't go past 100 A.D. This generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. So what Jesus said had to come to pass. If not, then he didn't speak the truth. But we know that he spoke the truth. And we'll see that before we get to the end of these 10 verses. He prophesied that this was going to happen. Just look at the end of verse 10. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What did he prophesy about? Over and over again, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Revelation 19 in verse 3. Revelation 19 in verse 3. Again they said, that is this great multitude in heaven. Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Again, they said, that is the multitude praising God from verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Her, the smoke of the great harlot. Remember, Revelation 17 and verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw, and the beast will hate the harlot, make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So her smoke ascends forever and ever. This goes back into the previous chapter where in chapter 18 and in verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Revelation 18 and verse 18, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? So her smoke will ascend forever and ever. Literally? No. It's symbolic language. As a matter of fact, it's a figure of speech we would call hyperbole. It's exaggeration. We see it even in the Old Testament scriptures, and we've made mention of this before in connection with this. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. simply emphasizes the finality and totality of the destruction. And we see this same hyperbole in a prophecy against Edom in Isaiah 34 and in verse 10. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. Literally, no. It's hyperbole, exaggeration. And so with the city of Jerusalem. Its smoke will ascend forever and ever. Hyperbole, exaggeration. We see the same kind of hyperbole described by the fires of judgment that God would use upon people and nations. For example, upon Israel of old, before the Babylonians took them into Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah 4 and in verse 4, Jeremiah said, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, the men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Note this, "lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it." No one can put it out. Of course they can put it out. But it's hyperbole. Jeremiah 17 and verse 27. "If you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall destroy the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." Well, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, it was burned, but the fire eventually went out. So literally, it was not quenched? No, it's hyperbole. And that's hyperbole, exaggeration in the phrase, "its smoke will rise forever and ever." Revelation 19 and verse 4. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah." So here I think the great multitude in heaven began in verse 1. I think they're identified here for us. But here at the end of this verse it says, "Amen, Hallelujah, Amen." This is said in response to what was stated in verse 3. That is, that which was true. Again, they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." Amen to that. What does that mean? It means true. Let it be true. Truly, surely, so let it be. Revelation 19 in verse 5. "Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great." So we have an additional voice here, this one from the throne itself. It joins that chorus of worship from heaven began in verse 1. Some would say that, well, it's probably God speaking from the throne. But it's probably not God speaking, since it refers to Him as our God. Note that. "Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God." So it's perhaps one at the throne who has great authority. Remember, there were others who spoke from different places in times past who were not identified, such as voices that came from the altar in chapter 9 and verse 13, and from the temple and from the throne in chapter 16 and 17, verse 17. The call that it adds is a command to praise our God, which is more an explicit form of the Hebrew hallelujah here, praise the Lord. This command is addressed as well to a wider circle of those who serve and honor God across all the strata of humanity, so that the worship of heaven will expand to the whole world as well. No, praise our God, all you His servants. His servants are those who are defined for us as those who fear Him, both small and great. His servants, of course, are those who belong to Him, His people. Another way to describe them is those who fear Him, those who give honor, reverence, and respect to Him. And they're identified as well as both the small and the great. That is, regardless of their status. In Revelation 11, Revelation 11 and verse 18, we see this mentioned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time of the dead, we read this earlier, those underneath the altar, that they should be judged or avenged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. So, all of humanity, all of God's people, I should say, is asked to join in with the worship and praise of God for what He has done in destroying the city of Jerusalem. Revelation 19 in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, that is a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now in this verse, John moves to, you might say, a second acclamation of heavenly joy. The first rejoicing was over the destruction of Jerusalem, but here the second rejoicing is for the marriage of the Lamb in verse 7 and following. So we see that when we read the very next verse in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. So we have a second round of rejoicing here. The first round of rejoicing and offering praise and adoration to God was for the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. But here, it is for the marriage feast of the Lamb that has come. It says here in Revelation 19 and verse 6, And I heard. Now the one he heard was the voice of an individual. It is probably the one who will speak to him later in verse 9. Look at the text very carefully. Verse 9, chapter 19 and verse 9. Then he said to me, then he said to me, who said to me? Well, the one who's doing the speaking here in chapter 9 and verse 6, and I heard. But don't misunderstand this. As it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings. You see those three as? As. Simply means like. Like, it's a simile. So the voice that he hears is the one who speaks to him again in verse 9. Then he heard, then he said. The voice that John hears is truly an impressive voice because he tries to capture its power and intensity with these three similes. And I heard, as it were, or like it were, the voice of a great multitude. So this voice he heard was like a great multitude shouting or singing, speaking. This voice that he heard was also as or like the sound of many waters. This voice that he heard was also like or as the sound of mighty thunderings, like the peal of thunder, loud. And this voice was saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Again, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Omnipotent means the Almighty, the one who has all power. As a matter of fact, it's translated Almighty 8 other times in the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, we'll see it translated that way in verse 15. So omnipotent simply means the Almighty. It's a title for God, the Almighty One. So 8 other times it's translated Almighty in the book of Revelation. Here, the only place in the book of Revelation is translated omnipotent. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. God reigns. He reigns through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've seen this more than one occasion in the book of Revelation. But back in chapter 11, in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty," there's the word, "omnipotent, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign." God reigns. Now, where did God reign? From where did God reign in the Old Testament? He reigned from the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was his throne. Where does God reign now? He reigns through Christ now. And you say, well, he reigns from heaven. He reigns from the heavenly Jerusalem. And what are we going to see? We're going to see the bride of Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem mentioned next. That's what we're going to see. Revelation 19 and verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory." Why? "For," that is, "because the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." Now remember, old city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. Old apostate Israel was married to God. But as God, through Hosea, as he had Hosea choose a wife that was unfaithful, and he put her away as putting a nation of people away, God has put this wife away, old unfaithful Israel. He has put the old unfaithful wife away. He has destroyed the city. He has destroyed the people. But now he has a new bride, the church. "So let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory." So the voice John heard in verse 6 is still speaking. "For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." That little Greek conjunction, therefore, it means because. This is the reason we should give God glory with gladness and rejoicing. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come. The word marriage here means marriage feast, marriage supper, marriage banquet, as indicated in the very next verse, verse 9. "Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper." There it is, marriage supper, marriage feast. That's what's under consideration in verse 7. Sometimes the word marriage or wedding is used, same word in the Greek, when it's the marriage feast that is under consideration. We saw that in our study of the Gospel of John, as a matter of fact, in John chapter 2 and in verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 1. "Now on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." There was a wedding, there was a wedding feast. Because remember, on this occasion in John chapter 2, Jesus turns the water into wine at the marriage feast or the marriage supper at the marriage banquet. And so the word marriage here is used in the same way as we see in verse 9. It's the marriage banquet that is under consideration, the marriage feast that is under consideration. "For the marriage feast of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made her ready." Now, the marriage feast of the Lamb has come. Who is the Lamb? Well, we know it's Jesus Christ. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, as referred to 29 times in the book of Revelation. I could read you all of those times, but it's important that you understand, though, who the Lamb is. I don't know that there'd be anybody here who would deny who the Lamb is. I think we all understand that it's Jesus Christ. The reason I'm impressing this upon you is because if we know who the Lamb is, if it's that easy to know who the Lamb is, it ought to be pretty easy for us to understand who the wife is. Jesus often spoke of himself as the bridegroom. Matthew 9 and verse 15, "And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will mourn," or "then they will fast." He refers to himself there as the bridegroom. Matthew 25 and in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." We understand in that parable that the bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. Matthew 22 and in verse 1 and following, where Jesus again spoke to them in a parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my supper, my feast, my banquet, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his own business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.'" You go on and read that, Matthew 22. It's identical to what we've just studied in Revelation 18 and here in chapter 19. We have the wedding feast. The city has been burned up. The invitation to come to the wedding feast is still had. Same thing. So now here comes the important part. We know who the Lamb is. We know Jesus is the bridegroom. Often speaks of himself as the bridegroom. Who is his wife? Who is his wife? It's the church. That's who his wife is. Romans 7 and verse 4. Paul said, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." So they ought to be married to the Christ. They've become dead to the law of Moses. Christ is the one whom they should be married to. Ephesians 5:22. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of church, and he is the Savior of the body." When you get to the end of that text in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So the church is the bride of Christ. It's the wife of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Note this, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The Corinthians were married to Christ. Later on, this bride, this wife of Christ, it's going to be referred to as the holy city, New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 and verse 2. "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Note this. "Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, if you know who the bride or the wife is here in chapter 19 and verse 7, when you come to Revelation 21, who is the bride? Well, it's New Jerusalem. It's heavenly Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem has been destroyed. New Jerusalem is that which remains, the bride of Christ. Revelation 21 and in verse 9. Revelation 21 and in verse 9. "And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying," note this, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now, if you have your Bible open, I want you to turn there to Revelation chapter 21. Because if you believe the bride here in chapter 19, and in verse 8 through 9 is the church, then how could it not be the church in Revelation 21? Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10. "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife, Revelation 21 and 9. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The reason I'm trying to impress this upon you is because when we come to Revelation 21, most people see heaven here. But it's the church under consideration. It's the church under consideration. Now, if you want to say it's the church in heaven, that's all right, but it's the church under consideration. As a matter of fact, that heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Paul said in Galatians 4 and in verse 26, "But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." So, if the heavenly Jerusalem is spoken of as a woman with children in Galatians 4 and in verse 26, how did she produce children not being married to Christ? She was married to Christ, and they produced children, children of God. She didn't produce those children out of wedlock. She couldn't have. I guess she could have, but then she wouldn't have been holy and pure, would she? She would have been like the old city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed, the harlot. No, she is the mother of us all. It is the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ under consideration. Now, when we get to Revelation 21, we'll come back to this because I want to impress it upon your mind that that's what's under consideration. It's just hard to look at these two passages and not say the same exact thing is under consideration, especially when the one speaking to John said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." The bride, the Lamb's wife, the church. "Come, and I'm going to show you the church." And he showed him the church, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That's what he showed him. Revelation 19 and verse 8, almost out of time. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed." To who? Well, the bride's wife. "To her it was granted to be arrayed," arrayed, that is clothed or dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, fine linen, a very costly, delicate, soft linen made from flax, clean, that is pure, bright, that is splendid, magnificent. "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Righteous acts, that is, deeds that are considered just and that conform to righteousness, conform to God's law of righteousness. The righteous acts of the saints. The saints, of course, are those who've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and in verse 9, "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Then he said to me, Write. Then he said to me," that is the one who spoke first in verse 6. You remember that loud voice like a multitude, like thunder, like many waters? That's the one still doing the speaking. "He said to me, Write." And a reminder of John's role throughout the book as the vehicle of God's revelation, he's instructed here again to write. He was instructed several times throughout the book to write. Chapter 1 and verse 11, chapter 1 and verse 19, chapter 14 and verse 13, chapter 21 and verse 5. He was told to write, to write. And of course, this is in harmony with what he was told to do at the beginning of the book itself, was to write that which was given to him as a revelation of God's will to us. Blessed here, Revelation 19 and verse 9, means highly favored. So blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Called here. Called here just doesn't mean invited, because a lot of people are invited to the marriage supper. You're not blessed just because you're invited. You're not highly favored just because you receive an invitation. When are you highly favored? when you respond favorably to that invitation. Remember in our lesson on Sunday morning, some people received an invitation, but they didn't respond favorably. They rejected it and refused the invitation. They're not highly favored. So here, the ones who are highly favored are those who are called. That is, those who are called receive an invitation and respond favorably to the invitation. They're called to the marriage supper, the marriage banquet, the marriage dinner, the marriage feast of the Lamb. We know who the Lamb is. This is that which we spoke about on Sunday morning. Often refers to that messianic banquet throughout the Scriptures. For example, in Luke 13 and verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourself thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. They'll recline. Recline around the table. Luke 14 and verse 15. And when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Doesn't have anything to do with eating the bread in the Lord's Supper. It's partaking of that great feast, that messianic feast that would take place when the Lord came. Revelation 19 and verse 9. These are the true sayings of God. The last phrase of that verse, these are the true sayings of God. The word sayings here means words. These sayings or these words most likely refer to all that has been written. He had was told to write, to write, to write, to write. And all that he has been told to write is said to be the true sayings or words of God. All right, we're out of time. We'll pick up at verse 10 next Wednesday evening. A bad place to stop, but we're completely and totally out of time. Any questions or comments from tonight? Revelation 19, verse 10, next Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for your kind attention.